When you sign up to belong to Jesus Christ, whether you realize it or not, you sign up to be holy. There are some, of course, who have taken the notion that there are carnal Christians and then there are spiritual Christians. The Bible makes no such distinction. We do not have two different kinds of Christians. We don't have those who are trusting in Jesus Christ and yet serving the world, while others are filled with the Spirit of Christ. Rather, you are Christian or you are not. And while we may have some idea as to where you are in relation to those two estates, ultimately, only God is able to declare with certainty who belongs to Him and who does not. But the responsibility that is given to us is to be holy before the world. That instruction is given back in the Torah. It's also given in the New Testament. Peter, in particular, says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." There's a responsibility then that we have. As we come to consider verses for our memory work for the month of May, we have been directed to Leviticus chapter 19. And what I'm hoping to do here this afternoon is not so much to focus merely on the verse that we're dealing with, but to kind of look at the whole chapter, because as we read this chapter, you'll see that it deals with much with one big theme of holiness, and that the verses that we're looking at for memory work are a part of that big subject. So, Leviticus chapter 19, we'll read the entire chapter for our scripture lesson, but it's verses 11 and 12 that we're going to use for our memory work. When I looked at the way it was set up, it just said verse 11. I thought, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. That's too little, too easy. So we're adding verse 12. Because it also helps to get before us the concept of holiness and that we serve the Lord our God. But let's read, beginning with verse 1, this whole chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect his mother and father. You must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the next day. Anything left over until the third day must be burned up. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is impure and will not be accepted. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because he has desecrated what is holy to the Lord. That person must be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven in two kinds of material. If a man sleeps with a woman who is a slave girl promised to another man, but who has not been ransomed or given her freedom, there must be due punishment. Yet they are not to be put to death because she had not been freed. The man, however, must bring a ram to the entrance of the tent of meeting for a guilt offering to the Lord. With the ram of the guilt offering, the priest is to make atonement for him before the Lord for the sin he has committed, and his sin will be forgiven. When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, regard its fruit as forbidden. For 3 years you are to consider it forbidden. It must not be eaten. In the fourth year, all its fruit will be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In this way, your harvest will be increased. I am the Lord your God. Do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights and honest ephah and honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word. And as we consider it together, may he give us wisdom and understanding. As I noted a moment ago, my purpose here is not so much to focus in on verses 11 and 12 a great deal, but to take the whole concept of the chapter, which begins with that statement, you are to be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Because the rest of the chapter, you see, is a description of how you demonstrate, how you show that holiness before the world, how you show that you are God's holy people. Remember the number of times, you can't miss it, in this passage where God says, I am the Lord. You get the idea that it's something that you are to remember that would help you to be holy. So here's the commission that God has given to us to be holy. Most often I think we think of that as a command that we want to meet. We want to be holy. It's what God wants for us, and we want to honor him. And so we want to be holy for his honor and glory. But even these to whom he gave this message, many of whom would say, oh, I have kept the law. Yet they could not come to him because of sin. They knew that they were not holy as they should be, as God had required of them. So while this looks to us like a command, there's another way to take this. And that is that it is the status that God gives to you. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, I, the Lord your God, am making you holy. That's who you are. That's what you're to be. Now, that doesn't mean that you disregard any attempts at laboring towards holiness. but rather that you focus on being holy, being the kind of people that he has declared us to be. And so this is a statement of the reality that Jesus gives to us as in his flesh he brings us to be holy. It's not something that we could attain on ourselves, by our own. But rather it's something that God enables us to do. He makes us to be in his presence. Now, why should we be holy? He says, "For I, the Lord your God, am holy." Okay? We have an obligation to be holy because of who he is. Why does he want us to be holy? Well, we, his people, are to be holy before the world in which we live, so that they might see Christ in us, that they might come to understand this holiness that God has given to us. It's by your holiness, then, that the world sees Christ in you. You might recall that one of the things that Jesus says in one of the I Am passages, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. Does he say that about anybody else? Yes. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. As you bear the name of Jesus Christ, people look at you and say, "There's what Christ is like." And so when they see you doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, contrary to things like morality, then they're getting a wrong picture of who God is. Or they're beginning to say, "Well, it's not that important, is it? Because here's one who says he's a Christian, and that's the way he lives, so why should I bother about being holy?" God has ordained that you and I be like Christ, the light of the world. Our lives of holiness are going to affect the world. We are able to affect the world by our stand, but where we say this is what we are to believe. But what we do is going to speak volumes. We have been commissioned then to be holy, and that's a position that God gives to us in Christ Jesus. So then, you bear the character of God, and he is holy. Now let's make a distinction here. Holiness is a state of being. Righteousness is a state of doing. You understand the difference? You are to be holy and you are to do what is righteous. Now that comes out a little more clearly, I think, in the statement that Jesus made to his disciples, where he talks about it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of him. Because it comes from the heart. The things that we do, if they are sinful things, they're coming from a sinful heart. But if they are things that are righteous, then they are coming from a heart that is holy. A heart that is attuned to God. A heart that loves him. So obedience is something that arises from who you are, from your state of being. But righteousness then, arises from holiness. That means that your heart needs to be trained in holiness, so that what it will produce is righteousness. I trust this is not too closely reasoned to be able to understand, but we are to be training our hearts in holiness by studying the scriptures, by being with Christ. And so the effort that we put out must be towards being with Christ and learning from Him. The tendency, I think, for us is to say, okay, here God has said, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now I need to do all these things to be holy, when that's something that arises out of the heart. And it's dealing with righteousness. The heart, then, is something that is to be trained to do what is right by because of the state of being that it is. I'm trying to think on the fly here concerning a way to illustrate this. That this isn't something that just immediately happens. The heart has to be changed. I remember talking with Elder Daryl Parnell from the Topeka Church. And he had to have a kidney transplant. And he said the doctor came to him after the transplant and said, well, we need to check to see that the kidney is working. And Daryl responded, I know it's working. I can think more clearly. The kidney had been changed. It was a good kidney. It was removing the impurities. It was doing something that the old kidney could not do. And so he was changed because the kidney was changed. When the heart is made holy, the activity of that person should be changed. We need to train our hearts then in holiness by being with Christ. And so it's not that we do all sorts of efforts in order to make ourselves holy. That's something that Christ does for us. But what we do is, you know, what our responsibility in that is to do what it takes to be with Christ and to learn from Him. And so our effort is toward Christ. Train your heart in holiness then by knowing God, coming to know Him better and better every day. The Catechism answer regarding the image of God in man mentions these three items: knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Two of those appear together and one separately in Paul's letters. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, he tells us that we are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness. Two of those three items that we mentioned: knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Okay, we are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And how do we put on the new self? Well, by being with Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, is where knowledge is mentioned as belonging to the image of the image of God in man. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So then, the better we come to know God, to know who He is, to know what He is like, to know what He wants of us, the better we come to understand then what is right, and to have our hearts shaped to be holy, so that they will produce righteous activity. In this way, we come to bear the character of Christ, so that the world, looking at us, sees the image of God restored as it should be, at least in part, so that they begin to see Christ. Also, by holiness, you come to submit to the Lord, and after all, that's the way we are to conduct our lives, in submission to Christ as Lord. And so we demonstrate the conviction that He is Lord by being holy and by doing the things that arise from holiness. There are many who claim the name of Christ who want to act like the world. They want to don't want to be any different from the world. And so as we look at the different instructions that are given to us here in Leviticus chapter 19, they will look at these and say, well, okay, that's nice, but how do I get ahead in life? The world has shown me how to get ahead in life, and so that's what I'm going to do. Some of the things that are mentioned in Leviticus chapter 19 are parts of the ceremonial law. And so they don't really apply so much under the new covenant, but some continue. And certainly the things that we have are looking at for our memory verse for this month, do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another, do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of the Lord your God, I am the Lord. These are things certainly that continue under the new covenant. They are part of the moral law. They belong to the way that we are to conduct ourselves, and they are to arise out of a heart that is holy. Beware then of acting like the world while belonging to Christ. I recently heard of a former press secretary for President Bush would be upset with some of the questions that would be asked. And the way that this press secretary dealt with it, at least in her own mind, was to be flipping them off under the podium. And, you know, that's obviously not the kind of thing that God has called us to do. There is not a Christian way to flip people off. Sometimes you might think, boy, I wish there was some way I could do that and still be Christian. And that's not what God has given to us. He says, you are to be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so instead of acting as we should, many people try to act like the world. Okay, how does the world accomplish this? Well, I can get my way if I lie, if I steal, if I deceive, if I defraud, if I swear falsely. I can somehow get what I'm after instead of being focused upon God and saying, I know that He is the Lord, as He has said here in this chapter so many times. I am the Lord. I'm the one who gives you this instruction. This is the way you're to live before me. And this is the way your life then is to be conducted. There's a great distinction then between doing things the way the world does and doing things the way God would have you to do them. You might recall that Pastor Bakenstow dealt with this in part when he was dealing with 1 John, that one of those sins that he mentioned that is not unto death, that can be forgiven and dealt with, was loving the things of the world. Instead of doing things that the way the world would have us do them, we are to show our dependence on the Lord, to know Him to be our provider, and so to live as He would have us to live. And that, of course, does not include lying and stealing and deception toward one another. But rather, it is living according to His law. Holiness then requires us to stand apart from the world, to look different, to be different, and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Where there is the fear of God, there is holiness. Let me just jump down a couple of verses to demonstrate this. Verse 14, do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Now, if you curse someone who is deaf, will he hear it? Of course not. You can yell a curse all you want at a deaf person and he doesn't hear it. So what difference does it make? And if you see a blind person walking along and he doesn't have the cane that would tell him where there's a stumbling block and you put a stumbling block in front of him, will he know who has put it there? If there's no one around to tell him who has done it, he won't know. So what keeps you from cursing the deaf and putting a stumbling block in front of the blind? He gives the answer in the same verse. You are to fear your God. That's the activity that comes from holiness, a heart that is holy. So that when he says, you are to be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy, that's the status that you have been given in Christ Jesus. But it's also something at which we labor, because He has placed us in that position. He has given us that status. Who you are is going to be shown by what you do. And your understanding of God is something that is going to shape who you are. The more you are with Christ, the more Christ-like you become. And so you come to fear God. So this is His call to us. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's the way you're to live before Him. That's the way you're to live before the world, that they too may see Christ. May He encourage us as we seek to be holy.